This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church. In the book of Matthew, we find the disciples in the middle of the Sea of Galilee on a stormy night. For many long, cold hours, the disciples fought the storm, desperately trying to hold back the water, knowing that they were in trouble. Then, in the early morning hours, Jesus came to them, actually walking on the water. They just didn't expect him to come to them that way, and neither do we. We expect him in the form of peaceful hymns on Easter Sundays in quiet retreats. We don't expect him in the middle of the storm, but that's where he does his best work, when we need him the most. When the storm comes, we need him, and he is always there. We are Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage at 1515 Eger Street, just above the high school in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live with Pastor Jim Krishan at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, on Sunday, September 26, 2021. A traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Good morning. Like to welcome you to worship this morning. The flowers here are in memory of Bob Batolo, whose memorial service was held here yesterday. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, when we gather with your Holy Spirit as our guide, our many prayers become one prayer. The jumble of many words become more like a simple, united song of praise. Thank you for the oneness we have found in Jesus our Christ. Amen.
Let us prepare our hearts to go before the Lord in prayer. Let us start with a moment of silence. Gracious, loving, and merciful God, hear our prayers on this Lord's Day. Father, as we come to you this morning, it seems that within our hearts, within our lives, and on our minds are many friends and loved ones who have come home to you. For the families that are left behind, Father, we pray that you comfort them and give them your peace. We realize that they have come home to you, where no more pain, no more suffering, no more sorrow. For your very hand wiped away the tear from their eyes, and they stepped into a new life of eternity with you. But Father, those of us who remain behind, remember, we miss them, and Father, we feel a sense of loss, but let us hold on to our faith. Let us hear the words of Christ that even though we die, yet shall we live. So Father, let us hold on to your promises, which are certain and true, but yet comfort us in our loss. Father, we pray for the drought situation that is around us. Father, we just pray that your will be done, but we'd pray that you would send the gentle rains, that you would let the snow fall in its time, and that, Father, that you would let us know it's you, that we would praise you and give you thanks, not take it for granted, not assume that it would always be, but let us live in appreciation and gratitude for every blessing you give us. Father, for the other natural disasters that are around us, from the ravages of floods in other places, tornadoes,
hurricanes, typhoons, tsunamis, earthquakes. Father, it just seems that our mind is inundated with tragedies befalling us on every level. Father, may you work in us and through us to share the good news of you through Jesus Christ, your Son. Forgive us when we haven't shared the good news, when we haven't been a good witness, when we have fallen short and put other things first. Father, help us to be better witnesses of you, your love and grace, not of our imperfections or the things that we've done, but what you have done, what you will do, and what you can do. Father, we pray for the leaders in our community, in our nation, and around the world. Father, convict them of integrity. Convict them of honesty. Convict them of serving rather than to be served. Convict them that the agenda should seek first you. May they seek first you. May pride be laid aside and humility lifted up. May wrong be recognized and right celebrated. Father, we pray for leadership to truly be leadership that leads through example and through humility. Father, we pray that there would be peace, a cessation of violence, a breaking of the isms that separate and divide us, and for the plans of the wicked to come unraveled, for the lies of Satan to come to be known as just what they are, that we would not let the seeds of discord and division be sown by the enemy, but that we would love one another as you have loved us. Father, we pray for those who are in nursing homes, hospitals, shut-ins in their own homes, for those who are suffering and are sick, for those who will travel and be away. Father, we pray for them this day. And may you now hear us as we join our hearts and voice to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today we'll be reading from James chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of joy. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, you might be relieved, but I think this is the last in the series from James, and we'll be moving on to something else. Today is the topic of prayer. There's probably nothing more important to the life of a believer than prayer and a prayer life. A prayer life that is intimate, close, personal, and often. Maybe the best ways I could describe them. But there is power in prayer. There is presence in prayer. There is provision in prayer. Peace can be found in prayer. But so often we as Christians kind of sort of go to it as the Band-Aid on the shelf. We get there for a meal. We get there for a tragedy. We get there for a calamity. But we are given example by Christ over and over and over of prayer. Getting alone to pray. Getting aside to pray. Taking time to pray. And even his disciples noticed how Jesus prayed and said, hey, we need to be able to do this too. So there's a lot of examples about prayer. And of course, James himself. Remember, James is writing to Jewish Christians, Jews who have been converted to Christianity, typically in and around Jerusalem. It's fun to look at, but sad at the same time, that Christianity begins in Jerusalem. It begins in what is called the Holy Land, and now it's less than 1% of those people in that part of the country are consider themselves Christians. So James here is writing to persecuted Christians under Domitian I. They are being persecuted by the government. Now, here's something I talked about in Sunday school that I need you to know about here. When a government is persecuting a group, a section, a people, or anything else, remember the government's doing it. I think that most of the time we get this idea that when the Christians were being persecuted, it was Roman soldiers running around and they were arresting them and dragging them out of their houses and things like that. That did happen. But the most of the ways that they were actually persecuted was the government made it okay for people who were not like them, who did not like them, or who were just governorites, if you will, to persecute them. In other words, let's use the example. Let's say that Kathy is the Christian Jew, and I am the non-Christian Jew or the non-Christian living in town with her. And since Domitian is persecuting Christians, now I can go persecute Kathy, no harm, no foul. No charges filed, no punishments given out, because it's okay since I'm persecuting her, which the government is persecuting, so they won't bring any. If they do, I'll just get a slap on the wrist. So remember, your first indicator that a government is persecuting a group is it's okay with the government to do so. Think about it. Always remember, sometimes it doesn't look like what it is, and sometimes it is exactly what it looks like it is. Persecution that was going on in Jerusalem, early Christianity, was approved by the government, okayed by the government. As a matter of fact, they really appreciated it when I would go tell them about this subversive person that they were after. See, they really liked it when neighbor would rat out. Holy smokes, wait a minute. That kind of reminds me of Nazi Germany, pre-World War II and World War II. I remember the government was persecuting people, and then it became okay for the people to even and appreciated and rewarded if they would rat out their neighbor for the same. Oh my, is there a pattern? Is there a pattern? When you see this pattern, know the devil is in it. When you see this pattern, realize no good will come of it. That was what was going on that caused James to write this letter, to encourage them that in the face of persecution, don't lose your faith. And the way you don't lose it, finally coming down, closing his letter, he wants to give them the keys to hold on to their faith despite the persecution, despite the problems. Now, there are many ways to persecute people. There are many ways to find yourself sick. Sometimes we just get sick. The cold goes around. The flu goes around. Whatever's going around. We all know about that. How many of you have ever had pink eye? Do you know what it's like to be 30 and get pink eye from your kids and have to go to the doctor and get drops because your kids give you pink eye? It ain't fun. Not at all. So we get many things. There are many ways that we are persecuted. James here says that, let's look at what he's talking about. We'll get it into James. Are any among you suffering? Are any among you afflicted? The right word in here would be in trouble or suffering problems. Are any of you suffering, going through difficulties? They should pray. Pray. When you're going through stuff, pray. Number one, most of the time, if you're being persecuted or being picked on, you have an idea of why, but you're not sure why. Your own neighbor, your own friend, sometimes even your own family is piling on with it. You're really surprised by it. So if you're going through that, pray. Now here's the other part. If any among you are cheerful, praise God. Sometimes we need some good news. Sometimes we need to know that God is at work in somebody's life, and we need to praise Him. So often we have a long list of problems. We have a long list of troubles. We have a long list of concerns, but a darn short one of praises. Sometimes it's really short because we're being culturized and customized and taught how to find fault and to look at everything that's wrong instead of everything that's good. We do that. We need to be careful as parents, but us as Christians, to not always find fault. But how about finding something good in people? I found it a long time ago that if I'm going to say something bad, I kind of need to soften it up with something good. How many of you have done this? How many of you have done this? You got something you want to show your neighbors or your friends, so you invite them over for a cookout so you can show it to them. That way, you know they're not going to say anything bad. You know, you're feeding them everything. Everything's going to be fine, and you're going to be in good shape. Don't we do that now? Don't we do that? Oh, no, you don't do that, do you? You are so good. You're so good. Now, think about it. But if there is any among you cheerful, they should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? During this time, there was many ways they were persecuted. Number one, they were not allowed to buy food. Number two, oftentimes they were afraid to leave their own homes. Number three, they would only allow them to go out at night. Number four, they wasn't allowed to have lights on in their house. There are many ways that we can be made sick by persecution. We can be abused in many ways. Folks, mental abuse is often worse than a physical abuse. A bruise will heal, but a mental pain, a mental hurt, a rejection, being ratted out or being scapegoated by your family, by your friends, being treated as less than, being treated badly. Every time you go out, there's somebody saying, that's one of those Christians, and they're spitting on you, and they're calling you names. That's what these people were going through. When James says, if there are any of you going through these troubles, then you should call upon the elders of the church. What's meant by elders of the church? Come on, you can answer these questions too. Every mature Christian is an elder of the church. An elder in this instance in the Greek is anyone of maturity. Call upon the elders of the church. Hey, what you doing for dinner? No, call on them for a particular reason. May any of you that are going through this, that are facing this, that are having difficulties with this, call upon the elders of the church. Call and have them pray over them. Pray over them. Now, that doesn't mean that I get up here and I go, okay, I'll pray over everybody and say, no. When he means to pray over somebody, it means to come and to put hands on them and to pray with them. It doesn't mean that you're lording over them. It doesn't mean you're standing taller than them. It means that you're praying for them. You've got them in mind. You're praying for Carrie Cresson. You're praying for Nicholas Griffin. You're praying for Norma Stensis. You're praying for a particular person. To pray over them is you call them by name, but you don't just call them by name. You pray for what's wrong. When somebody calls and says, would you pray for me? Ask them, what do you want me to pray for? There's nothing wrong with saying, what do you want me to pray for? Well, I'm struggling with my alcoholism today. I'm struggling with my drug addiction today. I'm struggling with whatever it may be. Okay, pray particular. Praying over people means you know what the need is. You know that they've asked you to come, that they've asked you to pray, that they're trusting you to be a developed Christian, an adult Christian who is going to come, who is going to put hands on, and to pray. Folks, do you know one of the greatest? How many of you have realized we're social creatures? Yeah, God did not really make us to be hermits. I like people for the most part, but I like being around people. I like talking to people. God, you just did so good because calling me to be a pastor means I get to talk to people all the time. Sometimes I run out of words, I have to be honest. Sometimes I've just talked and I get home and Carrie hasn't talked all day and she wants to talk some more and I don't want to say nothing. I just want to go away, go in the garage, break something, tear something up or build something, be constructed. But she's saved. And besides that, men use about 2,500 words a day and women, you're up to like 5,000 to 8,000. So you doubling up on us anyway, so we're behind from the beginning. It's just the way it is, you know. We different. That's right, we're different. So use them, pray. And look what he says, the most important thing. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. Folks, the worst thing that you can do is to die without Jesus Christ in your heart and life. Jesus says, what does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? Those who give their life in this world will save it unto eternal life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. Folks, it is about what's coming. It's about our eternal security. It's about our relationship with Jesus Christ. It is about knowing that when I am done here, I'm beginning up there. I know that I ain't getting out of this alive. Except if Jesus comes back. And I want to close my eyes in death and open them in the presence of Jesus. I want to shed all the... Do you know what happened? How many of you realize that after 50, when you get up in the morning, you sit on the edge of the bed and you warm up like an old Mack truck. You see what's working and what ain't working. Have you found that out yet? Only me, right? You know, sometimes I throw one leg out and go, well, there's one. And I'm thinking, now I got to raise the body. And I'm thinking, I need a cherry picker. You know, so I get up. How many of you have learned you get on your side and you get your elbow down and you come up? That's right. You know, 30, 40 years ago, I just sat up, got up, I was ready to go. Now I get up and I go, that ankle, that's my foot. Carrie hears me in the morning. I pop and I crack. Man, it sounds like, you know, old creaky parts, WD-40, where are you? You know, I need some grease fittings. Anybody else need? I need some. No, you folks don't even know what I'm talking about. God bless you. I'm so glad. You know, if you figure out how to get those grease jerks in there, let me know. I'll be in line. You know, you can do a lot of stuff. You can take all kinds of stuff. But I'm talking about it's just wear and tear, folks. Everybody's got a cure for everything. Some of them won't work for other people's, but here's what works. Pray and ask God. God will send people your way. God will send things your way. God will reveal things to you. If you lean only on your understanding, then you are a very limited resource. If you're relying on only what you can find out, you're running on a very limited resource. And if you go to help somebody and all you got's what you got a limited resource. But when we call on God, we have an unlimited resource. We have an inspiration of resources. We have a resource out of love, out of grace, and out of mercy. There are many things that God gives us, but he doesn't give us anything until we ask for it. We don't receive salvation until we ask for it. We don't receive his peace until we ask for it. We don't have his provision until we ask for it. And our means of asking is prayer. Our means of coming to him humbly is through prayer. Our means to come together corporately is prayer. We as Christians are not made to live in a vacuum. One of the hardest things that was COVID was to break us up, break us apart, get us out of that community, get us out of that sharing, whether it's in the Christian church, families, communities, and everything else. It was isolating. It was taking us away. And it's almost like what they would have been experiencing and being pushed to the side, pushed away, nobody to talk to, nobody to share with. We as Christians are part of a community of brothers and sisters. We as humans need that touch. I did some research or followed some research from Caltech. They did a survey that's been about 20 years ago on nursing home patients. The group of people in our society today that need, desire a touch are those who are in nursing homes. They are typically only touched as need requires. They're stuffed out in a chair. They're left in the corner of a nursing station so the nurse can watch four or five. And they are so desirous of touch that so many times when you go in to visit in those situations, when you begin to touch people, shake hands, and I've done this so many times, you go in and you see somebody, you shake their hand, and all of a sudden, the little hands pop up. They don't even know who you are. And the head that was bowed is lifting up, and that little hand's coming up. Folks, if that happens, don't ignore it. Don't worry about getting something on your hands. You know? Go over there. I've never went, and Carrie's been with me several times, I've never went to a nursing home to give one patient communion that the room didn't get full. Can I have communion too? They don't know me from Adam's house cat. They didn't ask me what denomination I was. They want the body and the blood of Christ. They don't care who's there to give it to them. They want to be part of that communal Christian faith community experience. James says we are to pray for one another, and the sins of those who have humbled themselves and called upon somebody to pray for them will be forgiven. That's the greatest need that's out there. Is redemption, salvation, and forgiveness. Folks, be careful that pride doesn't keep you from calling somebody when you need help. By now you should know that I love Wyoming, but one of the most difficult things that goes on here is cowboy up. Don't ask for any help. Don't air out your laundry. Don't you tell people that you're suffering. Don't you tell people you got a problem. You keep it at home. We'll take care of it at home. Well, what if there ain't nobody there that cares? What if there ain't nobody there that can? What if there ain't nobody there that will? Do you know why our suicide rates have went up during this COVID crisis, pandemic? Because the absence of the socialization, absence of being able to talk, absence of being able to share, absence of being able to do all of these things. Friends, it is necessary that we humble ourselves, and it's okay to need some help. It's okay to struggle. It's okay to tell somebody, can you help me? And I'm one to tell you, it's hard for me to do that myself. I was taught that you don't put your laundry on somebody else's line. That was one of my granny's favorite phrases. You don't tell them what you don't want them to use against you. Because whatever you tell them, they will. It was the code. The Christian church should be a different place. We should be able to do what James says. Look what he says coming down through there. Therefore, let us confess our sins one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. How many of us are without sin? Then why should we in any way judge somebody else that would tell us theirs? Why would we look down upon them? Why would we condemn them, judge them, or go tell it? We shouldn't fear that. Now James goes on and talks about Elijah, but he comes down to this that I want to sort of start closing with. Verse 19, my brothers and sisters, if any among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Statistically showing, if you miss four Sundays in a row, you are about 65 to 70% likely to not be a regular churchgoer for a long time. If you miss as many as six, it's an 80% chance that you won't even come back to church. If you miss as many as 12, there's a 100% chance that you won't come back to church. And you know what else that statistic proved it shared Sunday school? After you've missed 60 to 70%, nobody will even call and check on you, giving you an excuse to not come. Well, we pay the preacher to do that, right? Preachers come and go. But you folks have lived here all your lives, or most of your lives. You know each other. You need to be calling each other. That's what James is saying. And when you call people, if they've been out of church, don't say, where have you been? Why ain't you been here? No. Ask the same thing you would want to be asked. The same way you would want to be asked. I miss you. I miss you. Don't say we, because you don't represent the we. You aren't calling for the we. You represent the me and the I. Say to them, I miss you. If you can't say that, then don't call them, because it won't be genuine and they'll know that too. I miss you. How many would like to have heard that at some point in your life? I miss you. I miss you. Is everything all right? Sometimes they'll tell you what they won't tell me when I call. They expect me to call. They expect me to show up. And they ain't telling me nothing because I'm an outsider. But guess what they'll do with you? If they feel like they can. Now, somebody tells me, some people do, you need to understand, they tell me exactly things. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, wanders from the faith, and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering saves their soul. Church, we are called not only to evangelize, not only to tell people they need Jesus, but we're also called to take care of one another, to minister among our midst, to call, to check, to go by, to see, to ask people, not run in and run out like the house is on fire or whatever, you know, it's to be part of the community. Yesterday we had Bob's memorial service. And I want to say thank you to everybody that helped minister to that family yesterday. That's what we should be doing. That's what touches lives. That's what makes a difference. That's what causes people to want to be part of the body of Christ. Not when we're holier than thou. Not when we put on the air of perfection. But sin is sin. And if God condemns it, it ain't changed. If God says it's wrong, It ain't changed. Because last time I looked, it's been a few thousand years since the text has been updated. Pastor, that's old-fashioned. I don't care if the truth is the truth. Yesterday, today, and forever. That's the essence of truth. So how do we wind this up, Jim? How do we finish this up? Prayer gives you first and foremost personal contact with God. You don't need me to pray for you. I can come and pray with you, but you have that personal responsibility. You have that personal access first and foremost to God. When you bow your head and say, "Dear God, in the name of Jesus." Oh, by the way, I always pray in the name of Jesus. He's your intercessor. He's your ticket in. He's the way you get there. Father, I'm praying in the name of Jesus. Guess what he does? He listens to you. Unlike us that sometimes don't listen so well, he listens to you. You've got his undivided attention. Well, Pastor, what if I'm only one of 700? There ain't no call waiting with God. You see, the God we serve isn't taxed like we think of ourselves. If you think God doesn't have time for you, then quit making him look like yourself. Let him be God. Let him be God, and that's who he is. Don't put human limitations on the God we serve. First and foremost, personal contact. Number two, pour out your heart. Pour it out. He already knows it. You just need to tell him. I do that with my kids a lot and have done that with Nicholas too. Some, and I tell him, be careful what you tell me. I know more than you think. So tell me about it. He already knows. What are you going to hide? If you have doubt, if you have fear, if you have trials, if you have tribulation, all of these things he already knows. Well, Pastor, I mess up every day. He knows. It's okay. He loved us while we were yet in our sins. Go talk to him. Even if, don't assume that because somebody knows something, they're going to do anything about it until you talk to them. God wants to hear from you. God is interested in you. He's interested in how your day's going. He's interested in the good days. He's interested in the bad days. He's interested in even the smallest of decisions that you might make. He wants to be a part of it. And guess what? I promise you that if you'll make him a part of it, you'll start making better decisions with better outcomes if you'll just go to him first. First, don't get him always trying to fix your mess. He's not a janitor. He doesn't go around with a broom sweeping up the messes that we make. He'll help you clean it up, but if you'll go to him first, you'll find out you won't make as many. So personal, take it to him, whatever it is. Often, pray often. Paul says, pray without ceasing. Well, Pastor, you mean I got, no, you can pray. I can pray for Jill Johnson while I'm driving down the road. I can pray for Kay Womack while I'm driving down the road. I can pray for Cleve Holloway while I'm doing something on the computer. As soon as it comes across, pray for it. Lord, I don't know why, but I'm praying for Cleve. Oops, I misspelled that. I didn't mean to put Cleve in there. That's supposed to be John. But you can do that. Pray without ceasing means to think of each other often. You are prayed for by me every single day. By name, if I can remember. By face, if I can't remember the name. I'm horrible with names. I used to remember every name I ran into. You know, I think I got an extra fold or wrinkle or something went on up there, and it said, it's gone. You can't remember. I don't even know if I had breakfast, did I? Yeah, I had a bologna and cheese sandwich about 5. So, how many of you have bologna and cheese sandwiches? Good. At least there are some people in here who have good taste about things that taste good. And you need mayonnaise on it. You people, you need mayonnaise on it. And if you got a slice of onion, bologna cheese, onion, oh my goodness, is that not good? And if you got time, fry that bologna. Split it a third and fry it, because it'll roll up on you if you don't. Anybody eat fried bologna? Yeah. I'm hungry. I forgot what I said. But we need to be in prayer. We need to be in particular prayer. When you ask somebody to pray for you, tell them what to pray for. That's okay. I've got an ingrown toenail on my right great toe. Tell them. Pray for me. Pray for one another. That's the third part about prayer. Share it with each other. Ask people to pray with you and for you and about stuff going on in your life. The fourth one is honor God in prayer with praise. How about thanking Him for your blessings instead of thinking you got it on your own? Thank Him for how He has blessed you. For all good things come from God. Give Him praise. Honor Him. Not that He'll bless you more, but that He'll be acknowledged in the blessings. Prayer gives you power, presence, and peace. The one thing I've learned in my life as a Christian is there's one thing you can do, and that is ask God to take your burdens from you. Ask Him for His peace. He promised it to us. My peace I leave with you, not as the world gives you, but my peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding. Ask Him for it. We have not because we ask not. Prayer. It's the best tool in our kit. It's the most versatile, the most useful, and the easiest one to use. Use it. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Father, let us turn to You in all things and in all ways in prayer. Let us trust that You are there and that You hear us and that You care. Father, this early church faced persecution. This early church, even from within its own ranks, from their own families, the very words of Christ, where mother and father would be turned against each other and daughter against mother and son against father and divisions in the families. Father, they knew what that was like. I pray, Father, that we don't experience that, but I fear we do. Father, may we realize that when persecution comes, there is no good end of it. There's always pain and suffering. That it's always prompted through division and doubt. Pride fuels it. Humility breaks it. Father, help us to rely on a resource that is unlimited, not limited. Help us rely on You. And let us not create You in our own image with humanity's faults and shortcomings, but to realize there is no God like You, for You are a mighty God, and that You love us in ways that we cannot understand, and that You want good for us in ways that we can't understand. And that You want to be with us and part of our lives in ways that we can't understand. And it's in these things that we must believe by faith and trust in You. Hear our hearts and prayers lifted before You on this Lord's Day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Marvelous, infinite, and matchless grace. That's His promise to us. And may we go in peace, by grace and in mercy. May we know the peace of Christ. May it keep us, sustain us. And may we find ourselves often in prayer, knowing God's love and attentive ear. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.
broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.